It has sown a natural body. It has raised a spiritual body. Now notice, he calls it a spiritual body. That's why, you know, you have to have some sort of body to be. As far as that's the way it seems to be from the scripture. I suppose, I mean, souls are souls, you know what I mean? But they seem to have their expression. They have to express themselves through something, as far as I can tell. I mean, because nothing is nothing, as far as I can tell. Now, things of the Spirit are of the Spirit, and the Spirit and life, and so on and so on. When life goes forth, life goes out, and it just vanishes, right? I mean, aside from the metabolic stuff, I mean, the consciousness just goes out, and where'd it go? I think it really goes anywhere. It just turns off. Right? But the body has to be raised, a spiritual body. See, when people go to heaven, they have some sort of body. When, I mean, as far as when they talk about going to heaven. I don't believe in going to heaven, really. But they talk about going to heaven, and they're in heaven. They're going to enjoy a mansion. They're going to eat. They have a body. Now, the resurrection hasn't come yet, but they say people in heaven have bodies. They deny the resurrection of the dead by saying it has already come. They've erred concerning the faith. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. See that right there, right there. It doesn't say there's a natural body, there's a disembodied spirit, and then there's a spiritual body. Because, see, there are mechanics that people talk about. They say, well, your spirit goes to heaven, you live up in heaven with Jesus. Then when the rapture comes, you go down to the earth, you collect your body, then you fly back up. What's the point? Once you're up there, you don't need a body again. You have one. It's a spiritual thing. And I think spiritual body is sort of a make-fit term, because at times the apostles said, well, we don't know exactly what we're going to be. But as Jesus said, look at it. They supposed he was a ghost, a spirit. And what did Jesus say to them? He says, I'm not a spirit. A spirit hath not flesh and blood, as you see I have. And they touched him, and they put their hands in the holes. But it is a body. There is a natural body and a spiritual body. There's no in-between. You will have a natural body, then you are raised in a spiritual body. And that only happens at the resurrection, not at any time in between. The grain goes into the ground, and what comes out is the body. If the spiritual body comes out, it would never go back for the natural body. Because there is no natural body to raise. Once the natural body goes in the ground, it dies. The natural body is like the bran or what is it, the husk of the wheat grain that gets shed off. That's the only part of the seed that really truly dies. The husk, it is shed, and it decomposes into the ground. And the cotyledon, which is like, you know, and the germ is like the soul and the spiritual body. Because you notice, I like this analogy the best. The seed, when it goes into the ground, has a skin around it. It's like our flesh body. And within it is the germ, which is like your soul. And the cotyledons are the, you can see them in the seed. They're the big fat part of the seed. And it looks just like the seed. Like if you take a seed, like a peanut or something, you take the outer skin off, you'll notice it looks just like a peanut, except now it doesn't have that skin on the top anymore. Same thing with wheat. You can take the wheat off, but then it still kind of looks like a wheat seed once you take that skin off, because those, it's still shaped the same. All right? And then it comes up and grows into that new thing. But again, we're talking about instantaneous as opposed to the way seeds grow. Remember, all analogies sort of only go so far. But it doesn't suit us really always to take them to the max, you know. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Literally, egneto eis. This is the exact expression used in Genesis 2:7 in the Septuagint. What it means is, literally, man became into a living soul. Meaning, when his body was brought to life, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a soul right there. God did not implant a body with a soul. God did not send a soul down. It was created right there on the ground. I came into being when I came alive, my body, whenever that was, you know. And I said, where does life begin? Well, life begins in the beginning. And it's a never-ending chain of life. You know, there's sperm and eggs. It's all alive. A dead egg wouldn't develop into a zygote and a fetus, right? And into a baby. And so neither would a dead sperm won't implant an egg. Because it's all got to be live. There's no end of living. Now, when do you become a soul? I don't know. At some point in your womb, you're knit together in him and made into a soul. Adam was created on the ground. Now, the continuity of that. I mean, to me, you're a soul based on your when your genetics come together. The thing is, all the souls are mine, saith the Lord. The souls are determined from the beginning of time. What souls are going to come into being? And there are a lot more souls possible than will ever exist. I think I already covered this many times, but to me it's a very important topic. There's a nearly limitless number of souls that could be created. But God's already limiting everything down to just a few billion. You know, perhaps 18 to 20 billion souls all told so far, or less. Right? And if we double that number, we still can't come close to the possibilities. I should talk to a mathematician and find out exactly how many potential souls there could be. If we took every sperm and egg combination between every single person who lives on the earth now or ever has lived, I'm certain the number would approach infinity, especially when you consider that you could have identical hextuplets, identical octuplets, you know, eight twins, identical, and they would all have different conscious beings. They'd all be different souls. How far does that go? How many twins can you have and have them all be separate conscious beings? I don't know that there's an end of that. Could I have a million twins? I believe I could have a million twins and none of them would be all of a sudden, oh, wow, I'm conscious twice. Never. Though those guys would all be very similar. No doubt. Still. They'd all be very different. They'd have different experience. They'd also be just different consciously. The last Adam, Jesus, speaking of, was made a quickening spirit. He was made into a quickening spirit because, why? He came alive as a spiritual body. Again,